Okay, this morning, it's already up in front of you, you can see that. We're looking at being made in the image of God. You know, how does that fit with us? How do we equate being made in the image of God? How does that work for you? How does that work for me? How can we, what do we look like? If I had put a mirror up in front of me, what would I see? Some of you may not like the thought. Well, big bloke. Endless arms and legs. Yeah, bit worn, you know. Could do a decent haircut. Bit graying around the edges, you know, bit getting a bit thin on top. Bit arthritic, you know, with some spines decaying a little bit. I'm shrinking, yeah. I know it can't be shrinking. Yeah, I know. But that's age, you know, but in reasonably good shape. Yeah, that's what I would see. That's what you see. What do you see when you see yourself? Well, the image the Bible talks about is a bit deeper than that. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 to 31. Genesis chapter 1 and right at the beginning. Should be one of the easiest chapters in the Bible to find. The very first chapter. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the birds, beasts of the earth, and the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. Made in the image of God. Right at the beginning, we're introduced to the image of God. Right at the beginning of creation, God had made everything. And then he comes to the very end, the second part of the sixth day. And his crowning glory is mankind, mankind. Starting with the very first man, Adam, and then out of Adam, he created Eve. Notice, you need to turn these things on. It usually works much better. Oh, okay. Racing on too quickly. Made in the image of God. Right at the beginning, let us. Notice it said, let us, the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image, male and female. So I didn't think too carefully about the size of your screen. I should have made it a bit better contrast. Let us make man in our own image, male and female. What did he get us to do? To rule and subdue, to take over the world and our own likeness, to make us, give us authority over creation, gave responsibility. In chapter 2 and verse 15, he also says to work and take care of the land. Didn't give that to the animals or the plants. This was a special responsibility. To moving on, to multiply and to be fruitful and increase in number and to spread out. I could do the eyes in the back of my head. God didn't think of that. One day we'd be standing in front of a screen, preaching and teaching. We go and multiply. He gave them everything. Gave everything. You and I, we're given responsibility over the whole of creation. You see, that's something different. Part of the image of God is we've given responsibility. We've been given everything that no other creature had been given. And it was, not just good, it was very good. How about that? God created us. And God said, it's very good. We're very good. Whoa, that's a good start to the morning, isn't it? God, I like sermons like that when he says, you're very good. Hey, let's stop and finish there, shall we? Sin entered the world. At chapter 3, things go wrong. Wonderful mankind, fantastic. It was very good. And then in chapter 3, we realize the serpent comes, he was crafting all the other wild animals, and he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat of the tree? And we know the rest of the story. And sure enough, they said they took of that fruit. Verse 4, it says, you will not surely die, said the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so Adam and Eve, they took that fruit and sin entered the world and things go wrong. And in chapter 4, things snowball and we have the first murder. And sin had entered the world. That which was forbidden had been taken. Everything became a mess. The family were exiled from that wonderful garden. And the relationship had been broken between man and God. And then on into the next generation. In chapter 5, Adam had fathered Seth. And everything just got worse and worse. Chapter 9 and verse 6, I'm rushing through because it's one of these sermons where I could be here till lunchtime, and I think you all want to go home for lunch. Forgive me, this sermon, I'm not going to get through as much as I would love to get through, because we could go on and on and on and on talking through it. You'll go home and think, well, why didn't he talk about this? Why didn't he talk about that? Because there's so many lines we could go down. And there's so much we could say this morning. And for whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God, has God made man. And so God criticizes mankind for shedding blood of another, because he's made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. And yet, murder had been committed. And it goes and snowballs from one generation until the next. James, I won't read it now, he calls out the cursing of others who've been made in the likeness of God. From one generation to the next, sin has snowballed. Okay, so, what is God like? What is God like? Let's have a look at Colossians. If we can find Colossians. I cheated. I tagged it for earlier on. Colossians chapter 15, chapter 1 and verse, can't be Colossians chapter 15 because there's only four chapters, isn't it? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. You see, the difficulty in knowing what God is like is we've never seen God. But we have a clue. In chapter 1 and verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is all things, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
Yeah, the answer is always Jesus, isn't it? Jesus. Of course it's Jesus. How do we know what Jesus is like? How do we know what God is like? Because Jesus. Jesus has come and lived among us, the firstborn of all creation, the image of the invisible God. We want to know what God is like. Look at Jesus. Jesus, who is fully divine, as well as fully human. No one has ever lived like Jesus. Jesus, who was without sin. He is completely different. Oh, I'm forgetting to click my click on. He was fully divine. He was devoted completely to the Father. He spent time, he spent hours and days with the Father. Whenever there's a spare moment, he spent time with the Father. Even when there wasn't, he created time to be with the Father. He was committed to others. Read the Gospels. And we can learn and spend time knowing about Jesus. Read his commitment to others. Caring for the lame. Healing the sick. The poor. Even tax collectors who were unloved. The most unloved people of all. Jesus commanded his disciples to go and do what I did. To love the unloved. He says, what did he say? In John 15, he said, greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for one's friends. There's something we could talk about all day, isn't it? About Jesus. And we can see God in the example of Jesus. What is God like? Have a look at Jesus. As well as seeing him in action, we could spend all day looking at it, reading through the entire Bible to see what God is like. We could look through the New Testament, we could see what Jesus is like. If we want to know what the image of God is like, tell you what, go home, read the entire Bible, and you'll get a much better idea about the image of God and what God is really like. We don't have that luxury, but I challenge you to go home and do that. I know that's probably a bit much for today anyhow. So how do we become more like God, more like Jesus, more like the image that we should be? Okay, stay in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 5 to 11. It says this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. And moving on to Ephesians, I'm going to read both these passages together. And Ephesians, so moving on, we go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. Restoration. That, if you can see it, is a car that needs restoration. Any idea what model it is, what car it is? Well spotted. That is an E-Type. Oh, go to the top of the class, that man. That is an E-Type. That's what it ended up like. Much better. You see, there's a contrast between chalk and cheese. A complete difference between those two cars. That's what needs to happen with our lives. Our image needs to be restored. We need a change. We need to take off the old and put off the new. Get rid of the old nature. Put to death the sinful nature. It's a change of clothes. Put on the renewed self. It's different. You change out from the old rotten clothes. Put on those new clothes, that new self, that new restoration. Like that E-Type. That's new body panels. It's virtually a new body, isn't it? You spot a few bits, but it's almost like it's a different car. And so it is with the new image, with the new, it's the restored image. It's a restoration. put on the new self, the renewed self. We take off the old, we put on the new, radically different. In the image of its creator, that's what it says in these passages. Taking off the old, putting on the new, in the image of creator. We do it with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ. The passage in Ephesians talks about two things. Very similar to the Colossians passage. You may recognize some of the sentiments in the, it almost felt like we're reading the same passage, but there's a couple of differences, a couple of things that were added. Firstly, it says righteousness by the renewing of your mind. It means being right with God, getting something clear. It means having the right state, integrity, virtue, purity of life, correct thinking, correct feeling, correct acting, justice, sinlessness. That's what being right with God is. What about you and me? Are we right with God? And there's a similar one. Holiness. Holiness is very similar to righteousness. There's a sense about being right with God in relation to sin, but holiness is our commitment to it. How committed are we to holiness, to being a holy people, holy before God? God is a holy God. Do we strive to be a holy people? Is our heart to be right with God? Our heart to be pure and holy and honest and upright in our dealings? Do we want to keep short accounts with God? Because that's what being in the image of God is. To be pure and holy. To be right before God. Where does it start? Romans 12, verse 1. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds to discover the will of God. Starts with our minds. What are our minds like? Sin starts with the mind. Going back to the very first verses we looked at, how does it start? The mind, oh, it'll be okay. Then you'll be like God. Oh, it'll be okay. It doesn't matter, okay. Starts in the mind. Starts in the eye, starts in the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know God's will. Then you'll know God's will. Titus. There's another book we don't look at very often. Titus chapter 3. And verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because in His mercy He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Can't do this on our own. How do we restore and recover the image of God in us? By the work, by the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Even our minds wander. We have good intentions. Yeah, I can do it. I can become a better person. I can improve my image, the image of God. No, we can't. We need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit. He's able to carry out that transformation. He can carry out that transformation by His Holy Spirit. One more, just about that, one behind. Okay, apologies. Right. God, by His Holy Spirit, can carry it out. Okay. Personal image, changing tack slightly. This is one, again, this is one we can't really do justice, even slightly do justice. We could spend weeks looking at personal image and self-worth. Some have an inflated image. In that chapter we briefly touched on in Genesis chapter 3, where they said, you could be like God. You could be like God. That's an inflated image. You could be like God. Got a number of characters in the Bible. Perhaps Tower of Babel said, yeah, we could reach up to heaven. We could do it. We could be like God. Recently looked at Agrippa, And you know what happened to them? One of my most favourite little boys, in fact, probably a few little girls as well, Agrippa the First. People said, "Oh, you're a god." Did he say no? You know what happened? Got eaten by worms because he thought he was a god. Hey, that's too high self-worth. Inflated image. And many people around the world, you could just need to listen and hear people talk. You think dictators, people who have control and dominate and dictate, don't need me to list them. Inflated ego, sometimes we can have our own inflated ego. Inflated self-worth. History tells its own story of abuse and control. And then there's those who think more highly than they ought. And then there's the other extreme, low self-image. Life was great until sin came in the world. They had a great life. And then sin came in and suddenly they were ashamed of their nakedness and embarrassed and hid. Self-worth plummeted. Self-esteem went through the floor. Many struggle. Many go through. And I don't know, I'm getting old, but it seems to be more and more of a problem these days. More and more people struggle with low self-esteem. And in 2 minutes, I can't do it justice at all, of course. Sometimes it's sin and guilt for things that happened in the past. A wonderful promise in the Word of God. It says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all sin. And if guilt and shame and sin's a problem, take hold of the promise of God. Take hold of the promise of God. Psalm 139 is a cracking psalm. It talks about, if you're struggling with knowing who you are, read Psalm 139. It talks about how special, how much God cares, and what a wonderful creation you are, and what I am, and we all are. Have a read of Psalm 139. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's how much God cares, how much God knows. And then 1 John 3, verse 1. God says, you know, we are, if we have accepted him into our lives, we are his children. How great is the love, not anyone has lavished upon us, but the Father, that God has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God, because that is what we are. God loves us. God sent his Son to die for us. That's how wonderful we are. That's how much God cares. See, there's so many pressures and so many challenges in life, particularly around image and body images and what you can do and who you are. You can be whatever you want. How about what God wants? God wants you to be made in his image, not the image produced by an influencer or by AI, but in his image and who God wants us to be. Two more. Here's a promise, some words I'd never even noticed before. Surprising what you find when you're preaching and you're looking things up and researching. And 1 Corinthians 15 says this. 1 Corinthians 15:49. So just as we have borne the likeness, this is looking to the future, just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. There's a future. We have earth, new bodies in heaven, heavenly bodies, and then we'll have the perfect image of God for eternity. There's a promise for the future. Oh, a promise for the future. And then finally, a challenge really for all of us. What do we see when we look in the mirror? Do we see Jesus reflected? Do we see God reflected in the mirror? What do people see? What do other people see when they see us? Do they see something of Jesus? Do they see something special? Something different? people see Jesus in the things we do and the things we are and the actions we take, the way we care for people, the way we make a difference in the community, even the way that we help and support people when we pray for people. It's the way that we're honest, the way that we live our value systems. By making a difference, by being Jesus, we can reflect Jesus, we can reflect God. Is his image, the image of God, is that reflected in the way we are, in the way we are, the way who we are? I've said a lot, probably not said it very well, because it's just almost too much. What's God saying to you? I'm not expecting you to just recognise and think about everything, but maybe this is just one thing. I want us just to pause for a minute or two. Think, what's the one thing that God has said to you about being made in the image of God? Let's pray for a moment. Father God, thank you that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. From the best of us to the worst of us, even those who've yet to find salvation in Jesus are still made in the image of God. Father, I pray that each of us may desire to have a restored image, may desire to get right with you, may desire to have that perfected image, may desire to be more like Jesus, may desire to be his hands and his feet and have his heart for people. May we be a holy people, a righteous people, a people who live for you. Lord, help us to get our priorities right. Father, thank you for Jesus, who is and was and is to come the perfect image of you, our Heavenly Father. Help us to live for you according to your image. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I was asked to share a testimony in my own life of how I have allowed God, I would say, to show me more of, in myself, his image in me and how he created me. So I wanted to start by saying that I have a wonderful job where I get to see babies inside their mum's wombs and see how amazing God's creation is. And there are certain things within us that are the same, but within ourself, in our spirit, I believe that God has given each of us different gifts, different characteristics that are unique to us because we are his children and he's very creative in what he does. And then because, as Chris said, our lives are here to honour him and to love him and to love the people around us. So I grew up in a family where my mum and dad became Christians when I was six. And that was wonderful, that completely transformed. But I had certain things happen in my life that I think meant that deep within who I was, I struggled with a lot of fear and anxiety. So I was born early. I was in hospital for a month in a NICU, which meant I wasn't with my mum and dad. At the age of seven, my mum had a quite horrific car accident. So she was in hospital and away from our family for a while. And when I was 14, my mum and dad moved abroad and I went to boarding school. And I think God showed me that in my childhood there had been times where in ideal, how God wants our families to be is that children would be in a family and there wouldn't be a separation from mum and dad because God created us to be like that and to grow and have that security. So I came into young adulthood as a Christian, involved from 14, gave my life to Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, but always that sense of fear, anxiety, and thinking I needed to be good enough to be accepted to God. So come to meet Daniel on our wedding day. This is really interesting that I was asked to do this testimony because I think God puts things together. We were meeting with Joyce to prepare her for baptism, and Daniel said, oh, Bryony, don't you remember that you would speak over yourself, I'm broken? And I sat there and I thought, I don't remember that. So I want to give glory to God because the testimony is that God can transform. And it took me quite a while to go, did I really say that over myself? And then Katie asked me to give a testimony about the image of God and us being in the image of God. And I was like, okay, God, I think this is you preparing me, because it made me go back and reflect. On our wedding day, we had prayers, and prayers were spoken over us from the Bible about being blessed with children. And I knelt there, and I basically said, God, that's not true for me. I had a physical condition that meant I didn't ovulate very regularly at all. And I remember on my wedding day, which is a real robbery, I just said to God, I don't agree with that prayer that's been prayed over us. Okay, so there's a journey that I went on with God where we have three wonderful children and he broke into that. That was a lot about him wanting to bring me to a place of saying, would I lay down? Because I think when Chris was saying, you know, people struggle with their mental health, their identity, and for me it was all kind of, I'm weak, I'm low, I can't do anything. It was that side. But that was sin as much as it is to say, I'm wonderful and I can do anything. Okay, so I was on a journey with God, and he's so loving and gracious with us, where I had to go, am I going to stay in what I believe about myself, or am I going to actually come under him with the help of the body of Christ? So it took a prayer with our vicar at the time and his wife, prayer with other friends, where I repented of being fearful and anxious. And there's a lovely scripture that says, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I literally had to lay down trying to be good enough in order for him to do the work that he wanted to do in me. And I believe it's not just for ourselves, but it's for the people around us. So I have seen God bless us with children when we probably shouldn't have had children without medical help. So now I am with women who are struggling, and I go, I know there's a God who's faithful and he can do this because he's done it for me. I'm not special. This is what God does. I know what it's like to be anxious and to be trying to be good enough. And so I know God can use me for people who are struggling with that to go, I know what that's like, but there is a way and a power that God has to overcome. And it's interesting about looking in the mirror. So a few times in that, people would say to me, these are the things that we see in you. So Dana and I would call that DNA prayer. So how has God originally designed you? And it can be very specific. And people would say, put those up by the mirror in the morning and you speak that over yourself, because that is what God has said over you. And you look in the mirror and you say, I am his daughter. There is things that are more specific than that, but I am good enough because Jesus has, you know, Jesus did that. And I accept that he had to die so that I can be in relationship. So I just want to say that it was lovely to be reminded of a transforming in my own life this week when I sat there going, I don't remember saying I was broken, and that is amazing. I didn't think I would get to that place. And there's an excitement because I know that God is always on the move. I want to encourage you, just as Chris said, if you want to be transformed, it takes time and it takes effort to go and sit with Jesus. And you may need to do that with other people. You may need to ask other people to come and listen with you. God, what have you said about me? What are you saying about me? To replace the truth with the lies. Okay, so the other thing I wanted just to say to you all is we are in a battle. The enemy does not want the body of Christ to walk in her fullness. But I think today I just encourage you that Jesus does and God does.